Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On this special Christmas day, let us not forget the wondrous incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. From all of us at the Christian Research Institute, we wish you a Merry Christmas. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. This is a special Christmas edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm going to be answering questions that deal specifically with the Christian Christmas narrative. As always, the resources that I talk about on the broadcast, you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I want to start with a question today, a question that I think is very, very important because it's a question asked over and over again during the Christmas holidays. How could someone like Daniel, who is writing 6 centuries before the time of Christ, have predicted exactly what was going to happen hundreds of years later? Or perhaps we might ask, why are messianic prophecies a golden key that ends up unlocking the hearts of even hardened skeptics? I ask that question in light of the words that we find in Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over David's kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This, of course, is a prophecy made by the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Prophecy, I think, is so important for us because what it does is represent one of the most powerful proofs of the divine origins of the biblical text. And the book of Daniel is a classic case in point. Sometimes we forget that he was writing in the midst of the 6th century Babylonian captivity. And at that time, Yahweh, the God of Israel, reveals through Daniel his present and, I would say, his eternal purposes for Israel and, of course, for the world. So Daniel ends up accurately predicting a progression of kingdoms from Babylon through the Median and Persian empires to the further persecution and suffering of the Jews under Antiochus IV Epiphanes, including the Syrian despot's desecration of the Jerusalem temple and his untimely death, and freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus way back in 165 BC. What's interesting about this is something that is remembered in Jewish congregations around the world every single year. It is one of those epic events in human history, an epic event that involves an Old Testament Antichrist. And so the book of Daniel prophetically looks forward to the coming of Messiah. Now, Jewish congregations are not looking forward to the coming of Messiah as happened 2,000 years ago. They don't believe Messiah has just yet come. And so one of my Jewish friends said to me one day, the difference between you and me is you believe that Messiah has already come. I believe that Messiah is still coming. Well, I believe Messiah is still coming as well. Except when he comes, he will come again. Or as Hebrew puts it, he will appear again. But think about what Jeremiah prophesied. Jerusalem, said Jeremiah, would experience a partial restoration after 70 years of exile. However, as revealed through the angel Gabriel, the return from exile was merely a type of the antitypical freedom that would be experienced through Judas Maccabeus, which itself was typological of something. That something is the ultimate restoration that comes through Jesus, the Messiah. And we have to look at the singular fact that Jesus ends up being the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And therefore, it should never surprise us that when we read the scripture, prophecies regarding Jesus outnumber all other prophecies. And many of these prophecies would have been impossible for Jesus to deliberately conspire to fulfill. How could he do that with respect to his descent from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or his birth in Bethlehem? Or, think about this, his crucifixion with criminals as foretold by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53. The piercing of his hands and his feet on the cross, or the soldiers gambling for his clothes, the piercing of his side, and the fact that his bones were not broken at his death. And maybe the capstone is, ironically, his burial among the rich. And perhaps the most beloved of all the Old Testament prophecies is encapsulated in the words of Isaiah, who 8 centuries before the birth of Christ, think about that, 8 centuries before the birth of Christ, wrote these immortal words. We all know them. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. In other words, the possessor of eternity. And the moniker Prince of Peace. Only Messiah, born of a virgin, could match the meaning of these kind of majestic monikers. And not only that, but the Christ who walked through the doorway of Isaiah's messianic prophecy made the ultimate prediction: destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. And then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Over the years, I have discovered time and time again that messianic prophecy is the golden key that unlocks the hearts of even hard-boiled skeptics. How is it possible that the Old Testament prophets were able to predict the coming of Christ with such meticulous precision? His ancestry, you can't fake that. His birthplace, remember Micah said that it would be Bethlehem Ephratah, and only Bethlehem Ephratah would do. Of all the towns and hamlets in the world, only one could be the fulfillment of the words of the Old Testament prophets. Or think about the details surrounding his death. He was to be crucified. Now, crucifixion was not invented by the Romans. It was invented long before the Romans by the Persians. It was only popularized by the Romans. And yet the details of his crucifixion were given to us in such meticulous fashion that only Jesus and the death of Jesus on the cross could be their fulfillment. Or we think about the date of his visitation, given within historically narrow time parameters. Again, only Jesus Christ could emerge through that doorway. And then he was said to be a worker of miracles. He was one who would do extraordinary miracles. Now, oftentimes we talk about miracles in sort of a euphemistic way. A child is born, we say it's a miracle. But we're talking about the miracle of miracles. We're talking about miracles where Jesus lays down his life and takes it up again, thus demonstrating that he is God. And of course, he healed so many. Remember Lazarus? Lazarus had been dead for 4 days when Jesus healed him. Well, not only would he be a worker of extraordinary miracles, but he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He didn't come to abolish them. He came as the fulfillment of them. His words, "I tell you the truth, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them until heaven and earth disappear. Not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything has been fulfilled." So Jesus Christ fulfills that which only God can fulfill. And I think one of the most beautiful of all of the prophecies in the Old fulfilled in the New is that Jesus Christ would not merely be a parochial Jewish Messiah. No, he was going to be far more than that. He was going to be Messiah to the Gentiles as well, so the light of Christ could go out to the kingdoms of the world. And we have found ourselves in an epic moment of time. A moment of time in which we too can say, "I am a co-consummator of the kingdom of Christ." What Jesus Christ began as a mustard seed must fill the earth, and I'm part of that fulfillment. So I think as we ponder the question, how could it be that Old Testament prophets could foretell what would happen with the birth of Jesus Christ? We must also ponder the attendant question, how could it be that what began with the coming of Christ is now being fulfilled and fulfilled through me? At least it ought to be fulfilled through you, because all of us have a stake in the kingdom. All of us have been called to be, as I just mentioned, co-consummators of the kingdom, and therefore we must let our light so shine before men that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. Well, this is one of those issues that I'm so excited about, messianic prophecy. I've written about this in many different places, including The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I've written about this as well in my book, Has God Spoken? Many of these resources, in fact, all of them, can be found on the web at equip.org. As mentioned at the beginning of the show, you can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You've tuned into a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we consider questions that come up each and every year during the Christmas season. When I come back from the break, I'm going to answer the question, did Dr. Luke make a colossal historical blunder that discredits Scripture when he said that Augustus Caesar issued a decree that a census should be taken and that that decree would take place when Jesus Christ was born? Skeptics on the web, skeptics on television and radio, they're telling us he made a colossal blunder. We're going to answer that objection when we come back in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Despite the growing spiritual and moral darkness and ominous cultural storm clouds on the horizon, dedicated followers of the Lord Jesus are making a genuine difference. Through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and a website bursting with both scholarly and practical resources, your generous support has enabled the Christian Research Institute to equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. Because so much remains at stake in the lives of so many, please prayerfully consider a special Christmas or year-end gift today in support of CRI's life-changing outreaches and call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. This then is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI. and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
Looking for an investment with eternal significance? When you partner with us through a gift of support today, you will help multiplied millions to grow in their own faith and share it with others. There's no telling how far your impact can spread, as this letter from a listener shows. I heard Hank the first time when I was working as a farmhand. I was very curious about Christianity and had many questions. I listened to Hank each day and grew in my faith step by step. I am now a lead pastor and Christian family counselor. Thank you for everything that you have done to further me in my spiritual growth. To make your kingdom investment today, call 888-7000-CRI or give securely online at equip.org. May God bless you for helping to share the truth with the world. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And you have tuned into a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm answering questions that are raised over and over again this time of the year. Sometimes the questions are raised on television or on radio or on the internet. Sometimes these questions are raised by family members or friends. And as we say so often on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we are called to be ready always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us. And we are called to do that with gentleness and with respect. The whole idea is not to win the argument. It is to reach a person who without Jesus Christ has a vacuum that will never be filled. Do remember as we continue with the broadcast that our work of equipping and encouraging fellow believers to stand for life and truth simply could not continue without the faithful support of listeners just like you. Support team members undergird. They strengthen every one of CRI's 24/7 outreaches. It is support team members and those who give to this ministry, pray for this ministry, that equip fellow believers not only at home but around the globe. So much work needs to be done. To become a member of CRI's support team, to help change our world, simply go to equip.org or call 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. This is the month that typically is the make it or break it month for our ministry. We're either trying to catch up or we're trying to establish resources to exploit opportunities in ministry around the world. Whatever you can do would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And you can also download CRI's Equip app. Just go to equip.org/app. Not only can you give there in a safe, secure fashion, but you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live. You can also listen to archived editions. You can, as well, read hundreds of well-researched and relevant articles. And you can use the app, again, to conveniently support the ministry. Well, before the break, I was mentioning a question that comes up over and over again this time of the year. It's actually a question that is motivated by something that Dr. Luke said in Luke chapter 2. And Luke is considered to be a meticulous historian. And therefore, this question calls into question a larger question. How reliable is not only Dr. Luke, but how reliable is the Bible at all? The words of Dr. Luke in chapter 2 have to do with those days in which Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And according to Luke, everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and at the time was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, on NBC, there was a special called The Birth of Jesus. And on that special, a man named Dr. John Dominic Crossan, who happens to be co-founder of the wildly popular Jesus Seminar, called into question the historical veracity of the Bible by saying Luke tells us the story that at the time Jesus was born, Augustus had decreed a census of the whole earth. And then he said this, "Now, every scholar is going to tell you that there was no such census ever." The question we have to ask at this point is he correct or is the canon correct? If he's correct, the canon is corrupt. So did Dr. Luke make a colossal historical blunder that effectively discredits sacred scripture? In an age in which the historical reliability of the Bible is being questioned, it is ever more crucial that Christians are equipped to demonstrate that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. So, how do we respond to critics like John Dominic Crossan? Is his pontification on NBC a defensible argument, or is it merely a dogmatic assertion? Well, it turns out to be the latter. It's a dogmatic assertion. While Crossan made his pontification with typical bravado, it's patently false. Caesar Augustus was famous for census taking. So famous, in fact, that this issue is no longer even debated among credible historians. The Jewish historian Josephus actually refers to a Roman taxation in AD 6, and considering the scope of the taxation, it is logical to assume that it took a very long time to complete. Undoubtedly, it began with Caesar Augustus around 5 BC and was likely completed a decade later. But there's more. Luke, ever the meticulous historian, notes that the census took place when Quirinius served as governor of Syria. An ancient historian, Dr. Paul Meyer, co-author of one of my books, an esteemed professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University, noted once on the Bible Answer Man broadcast that Romans took 40 years to get a census done in Gaul, and therefore for a province 1,500 miles away from Rome to take a decade is eminently reasonable. Not only that, but since the census came in under the administration of Quirinius, it would correctly be labeled as his census. And not only that, but given Luke's impeccable credentials as a historian, it would have been far more circumspect for someone like John Dominic Crossan to temper his dogmatism, and those who follow in his train should do so as well. These are issues that are not trivial. These are critical issues. If Luke is wrong, the Bible is wrong. And if the Bible is wrong here, how can we trust the Bible as a reliable authority? We need to remember the experience of a brilliant archaeologist. His name was Sir William Ramsay. He was very much like Crossan in his own day. He was bent on undermining Luke's historical reliability. And therefore, through his painstaking Mediterranean archaeological adventures, he was expecting, well, to underscore his own biases. But something else happened. He discovered that one after the other, the historical allusions that Dr. Luke provides were accurate. If, as Ramsay points out, Luke does not err in referencing a plethora of countries and cities and islands and all the details that surround them, then there's no reason to doubt him concerning the census either. So on this sacred occasion, an occasion where we are looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ by way of celebration, why not make a commitment that we ask you to make each and every year, not just once, but throughout the year? Always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And remember, even if you don't have an answer ready at your fingertip, you can always research and return, and a great place to do that is on the web at equip.org. That's why we pray, and we do pray about this earnestly. May God use your well-reasoned answers this Christmas season as an opportunity to share the grace, the truth, the light that only the Christ of Christmas can bring to the human heart. Think about the fact that the Christ we worship was sinless. He was supernatural. And in a way that no other human being could be, he was transformational. We use the word Jesus over and over, and some even use it as a swear word. And I think sometimes we may well have forgotten the majesty inculcated in that beautiful word, Jesus. Jesus. It is the name that binds the brokenhearted, that heals the sick, and that is for certain the truth that will lead us into life everlasting. Do remember the resources that I talk about on the show. You can find on the web, equip.org, including The Heart of Christmas. I broached the questions that I'm asking on the broadcast today in this book as you prepare your heart for celebrating the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned.
Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are committed to providing the biblically and logically consistent answers you need to stand firm in your faith against the world's attacks and to strengthen Christians everywhere with the truth. But we can't do it without your help. As an entirely listener-supported ministry, we rely on God's provision through friends like you to keep the broadcast going strong every month. Will you partner with us through a gift of your support today? Every gift, large or small, helps build God's kingdom by equipping Christians to think Christianly. So please go online to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI today to be a part of God's provision for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thank you. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment with more of the answers you need today.
An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.
I want to talk about whether or not the Christ of Christmas actually claimed to be God. So, when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, remember, he asked the disciples the mother of all questions. Who do you say that I am? Now, Mormons answer that question by saying that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. Jehovah's Witnesses, well, they say that Jesus was the Archangel Michael who appeared in the incarnation as merely human. New Agers, remember them? They say Jesus was an avatar or a messenger. Jesus, however, demonstrated that in incarnation, he was undiminished deity. So as a result of that, the Jewish leaders tried to kill him. Because in calling God his own father, Jesus was making himself equal with God. That's what they said. And then Jesus answered them. He said, "I've shown you so many great miracles from the Father. For which of these are you stoning me?" And then they said to Jesus, "Well, we're not stoning you for any of those, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Also, when Caiaphas, the high priest, asked him, remember that? "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus. And
you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, a biblically illiterate person might well have missed the import of the words of our Lord, but Caiaphas and the council did not, because they knew that in saying that he was the Son of Man who would come on the clouds of heaven, he was making an overt reference to the Son of Man in Daniel's prophecy. And in doing that, he was not only claiming to be the pre-existent sovereign of the universe, but he was prophesying that he would vindicate his claim by judging the very court that was now condemning him to death. One other point in this regard, and that is Jesus claimed to possess the very attributes of God. For example, he claimed omniscience. How do you do that? Well, he told Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And Jesus declared omnipotence. He was all-powerful by not only resurrecting Lazarus, but by raising himself from the dead. And he professed omnipresence by promising that he would be with his disciples to the very end of the age. And not only that, but Jesus said to the paralytic in Luke 5:20, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And as such, he claimed a prerogative, well, a prerogative that was reserved for God alone. So as we contemplate the mother of all questions, may we evermore be mindful that the Christ born in a manger is the very one who spoke and caused the limitless galaxies to leap into existence. That is the Christ of Christmas. Just a little portion of what I wrote in my devotional. Again, the book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the web at equip.org. When you get this book, all the proceeds go to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. So please, not only get a copy for yourself, but also for a family member or a friend. And if you want to personalize a copy, here's what we do. If you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, check it out on the web, equip.org.
Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our mission to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. Your tax-deductible gift today will help CRI end the year strong. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
As we continue with this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, answering Christmas questions, I want to really climax this broadcast by talking about the spirit of Christmas. The question arises, what is that? I want to ask you maybe a more specific question. Do you have the Christmas spirit? I mean, do you really have the Christmas spirit? Better yet, what is that Christmas spirit? Is it the warm and familiar feeling that you have when you're with a family member or a friend? When you're sitting around a soothing fireplace, seeing flickering candlelight? Is it the joy of seeing anticipation in the eyes of a child? Or is it the satisfaction of perhaps unwrapping a special gift? Or is the spirit of Christmas something else? Well, I think the answer to these questions is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who for our sake came that Christmas morn 2,000 years ago. who, for your sake, condescended to cloak himself in human flesh, who, for your sake, emptied himself, who made himself nothing, who took on the very nature of a servant, who, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, who, far from grasping the prerogatives of divinity, humbled himself. And that in itself is a lesson, because the Bible is very, very clear. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So I would argue that what I just described is the spirit of Christmas. It's really not the rush we experience when we get a gift, get even a feeling, or get a bonus. All of those are wonderful in and of themselves. But the real spirit of Christmas is found not in what we get, but in what we give. It is becoming ever more like our Savior in the spirit of selflessness. And not just during the Christmas season or on Christmas Day, but rather throughout the remainder of our lives. I have to say this. We live in a generation that no longer knows the joy of giving. You think of the war generation, they were givers. It was part of their DNA. But quite frankly, this generation is a consumeristic generation. And that's not just an indictment on what happens when people do not give, ministries suffer, and so forth, but it's actually an indictment on people who now have failed to recognize that the real joy comes when you give. When you don't store up treasures on earth, but rather, as Jesus said, store up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, your heart follows your treasure. If your heart is on mean earthly vanities, those things that are impermanent, then your heart's in the wrong place. But if your heart is on eternal verities, then you have a right valuation of things. Because I will tell you, life is very, very short. I buried a son-in-law that was only 47 years of age. My dad died when he was 74, 1997. So I'm well aware that tomorrow is not guaranteed. I'm also well aware that eternity is forever. And so we must set our sights where our sights belong, not on the temporary, but on the eternal. They say you can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. And that's one of the reasons we ask people to invest in ministries like the Christian Research Institute, a ministry that is genuinely making a difference for time and for eternity. But I want to get back to this point that we're talking about. What is the spirit of Christmas? Because this Christmas season, my family and I have a prayer for you, just as we have a prayer for ourselves. And that prayer is that as we see images of the poor, as they're standing in soup lines, and many are, when we see that on our television screens, I hope that we can picture ourselves placing a piece of bread in the hands of the hungry. And as we remember those in nursing homes, maybe we can envision ourselves dispensing a hug. You cannot know what that means to someone that thinks that they have been put on the shelf. They're on the bench. They're kind of out of the picture. That hug is priceless. And as we remember the widows and the orphans, perhaps you and I can imagine ourselves healing their hurts. Because ultimately, doing so is in the service of dispensing not just physical bread, but dispensing the bread of life. Remember, Jesus said that. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. I mean, that's the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas is not a once-a-year experience. It is the spirit to be embraced throughout the coming year. It's the spirit of Ebenezer Scrooge, who experienced a complete metamorphosis after his encounters with the spirit of Christmas past, the spirit of Christmas present, and the spirit of Christmas yet to come. And it's the spirit I want reborn in my soul as each Christmas my family and I watch yet another rendition of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. It's one of our traditions. So, bottom line, this year, as you and I wish each other a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, you and I know exactly what we mean. So, Merry Christmas, dear friend. And to all, a Happy New Year, a new year in which we serve with grace and splendor the one who came in incarnation, the one who emptied himself, kenosis. His kenosis is our theosis, meaning his emptying has opened the doorway whereby, as Peter put it, we can become partakers of the divine nature, not only for time, but for all eternity. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth in Christ through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a Christmas gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This, then, is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation. His last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened."
To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.